You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everything. Jordan Bastian is with us as always. And JB, it's the last week of the 2015 season. The season, as we know, did not go as the Indians planned. There were some signs of hope, though, in the second half. Obviously, first and foremost among those was Francisco Lindor. He's also made some rookie mistakes. He made a mistake on the base pass in Sunday's loss in Kansas City, which, as we know, at this stage of the game, every loss just kind of feels like a dagger to the Indians' already faint playoff hopes. But, you know, we've seen some of these mental miscues, what have you. There was an incident where he didn't run hard to first base. And thankfully, Jonathan Papelbon didn't choke him, but it still did get some attention. Of course, a mistake on the base pass on Sunday. But, you know, for me, you take the bottom line in this business, which has been very good for him. I think, you know, these sort of situations will probably only make him better in the long run.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that with Terry Francona before the last road game out in Kansas City, just about, you know, what this team has done in the second half, both through youth and through bringing in some new faces. And, you know, it's hard enough for a team to pull itself out of a deep early hole. It's almost more impressive to me when you kind of you dramatically shift the roster midway through, and they're still able to do it, and the team's able to kind of have that camaraderie stay intact. And you know, we kind of within that, Tito brought up Lindor, and one of the things that he's been impressed is, you know, when you call up young players like Lindor or like Giovanni Urshela or, you know, some of the other guys, even a guy like Abraham Almonte, who, you know, doesn't have a lot of big league experience, they kind of brought those guys into the fold anticipating and expecting some youthful mistakes. And we've seen some of those, as you mentioned, with Lindor, especially early on. I think they've been few and far between more recently. Right. And that's what Tito said has been very impressive, is the fact that, you know, they've been able to do this second half run, you know, while doing it with new guys who have been pretty fundamentally sound and a lot of rookies.
Yeah, a lot of young bodies. And it's also interesting to me here in the second half is the two guys they dispatched in the first half, two guys who were dragging them down the left side of the infield, Jose Ramirez and Lonnie Chisenhall. You know, they come back in new roles, Chisenhall in the outfield and Ramirez, you know, bouncing all over the place, and they both kind of thrived in those roles. That's been one of the, I don't know if you consider that an unlikely success story, but I think it probably would qualify as unlikely given what we saw in the first half.
Right. I think we all knew going into this year that Jose Ramirez was keeping the seat warm for Lindor. You know, maybe maybe for the Indians it happened a little quicker than they expected. Maybe it didn't. You know, I think a lot of fans would have liked to switch earlier. But we also could kind of forecast that you needed to bridge that gap 2016, where Mike Avila's potentially, you know, not going to be in the fold anymore, and maybe Jose Ramirez could fit in as that super sub switch hitter, bring some speed, you know, can bounce around the diamond, can inject some energy, can steal a base, you know, if you need him to. They tried him out in the outfield a little bit, and on top of that, you know, while he's filled in admirably for Kipnis when he was hurt and Urshela more recently, you know, he's also better, and he's looked more like the guy that the Indians saw down the stretch last year. And then obviously with Chisenhall, I think this is one of the stories of the year. You know, I don't think we're talking about a, you know, an Alex Gordon transformation just yet. You're going to need to see, you know, a larger sample, especially when it comes to the offense. But he's really impressed them, and to the point where, you know, recently we kind of asked, you know, where the heck has Ryan Rayburn been? And one of the things Tito said is, well, it used to be almost an automatic pinch hit situation for Chisenhall late in the game if a lefty came in, and you'd go to Rayburn or you'd go to Jerry Sands, who's been here for that type of role too. He said lately, Chisenhall has played so well defensively and become such an asset defensively that it hasn't become an automatic pinch hit situation. You know, so that's kind of shown you, you know, how he's developed and grown in their eyes. And I think, you know, we at one point would have thought, you know, this guy's a clear non-tender candidate. You know, now we're looking at, you know, a kind of a affordable right field option with plus defense for next year.
you used the word transformation. I don't know if anybody's had a transformation or been a better transformer, been more than meets the eye. Was that the Transformer saying? I think it was.
My six-year-old will confirm, yes.
Okay. Jeff Manship. Holy cow. 0.97 ERA through 30 appearances. This guy had a 6.46 ERA in the 70 or so career appearances before that.
Not all
exactly
aboard.
A small sample. Yeah, what happened here? What's going on with Jeff Manship? It's got to be more than just moving to the other side of the rubber, right?
I mean, it's been incredible and almost humorous, you know, to how good he's been, because you just look at these numbers and you want to laugh. Like, how the heck did this happen? And I joked around with him the other day that he passed Wade Davis for the best relief ERA among all major league pitchers, relievers with at least 30 innings. He did that in Kansas City. I said, you know, you had Wade Davis out there in the bullpen watching you pass him, and he started laughing, and he kind of quipped, yeah, he was probably out there thinking, who is this guy? Well, we all been thinking, who is this guy?
Right.
No, it's been pretty incredible. He cites, as simple as it sounds, as you mentioned, that move to the third base side of the rubber. You know, I asked Mickey Callaway, can it really be that simple? And he said that, you know, sometimes it can be. You know, just it's changing an angle, it's changing deception, it's changing not only the perspective for the pitcher but for the batter. You know, all of a sudden the angle on the pitches look completely different. So it could be that. And then you also look at the way they've used him. You know, he's not kind of a swing guy, long guy like he's been in the past. He was a spot starter at times. You know, they decided to send him to AAA at the start of the year and really have him stay in that relief role, see if that velocity would continue to tick up, which it has. You know, so he's been in that little more of a specialized role, which has allowed the velo to play up. You know, so you have a new angle, you have heightened velocity, and in a more limited, you know, role, he's also focused more on just his two-seamer and his slider, and kind of had his four-seamer and changeup just kind of in his back pocket, you know, when he needs it. So there's a combination of things that I think all, you know, kind of spur from that switch to the other side of the rubber. But, man, it's been fun to watch. I mean, you look at Indians history, pitchers with 30 or more games and an ERA under one, as of right now, there's only one name on that list, Jeff Manship.
Smooth sailing for the Manship. smooth sailing for the rotation for the most part this year. We talked about Trevor Bauer last week and his issues that need to be ironed out. But really, on measure, you take what this rotation has given you this season. And one thing they've given Indians fans this year, Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco, the only Indians teammates other than Louis Tiant and Sutton Sam McDowell, to each have at least 200 strikeouts in the same season. Tiant and McDowell actually did it twice, 1967 and 68. And they went on to lower the pitching mound because of guys like that. But and Danny Salazar could potentially join them. He's 11 away going into his last start later this week. So maybe it'll be three guys, but man, you just talk about the power arms in this rotation, JB. They really came as advertised.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I was talking to Kluber about that the other day, and, you know, he kind of said, you know, almost in a sense that, you know, it's great all these records they're accomplishing, but they're a 500 team. And he said he said he feels like, as a group, they have shown in spurts what they're capable of doing. And obviously this includes him this season with some of the issues he's had here and there. But he says, you know, what they really need to do is find that consistency and do it for an entire year, you know, and not have those lulls. And that's something that they're going to work towards next year. But you're right. I mean, the power arms are there. Obviously very, very impressive. And, you know, that's something to build on for next season. You know, Salazar could get to 200. He's going to need a pretty good performance. Bauer was on pace, you know, to maybe do that too before his issues sent him to the bullpen. So, you know, like I said, great foundation. What'll be interesting this winter, because as you and I know, the history of this team and payroll situations and their history and misses and free agency, if this team really wants to add an impact offensive hitter and they're not willing to spend in free agency, you know, whether they are going to trade from their strongest asset, which is that starting rotation, I think that's going to be something to really follow this winter.
Absolutely. It's the fundamental question of the offseason. As of now, the Indians have six starters. That's one too many. but it's maybe several too few. I believe they've used 12 starting pitchers this season.
Right. I mean, you got to think how long it took them to get to that list of six. You know, they had to go through a lot of names.
Exactly. And you don't know who's going to show up aching or suffer some regression or what. You just don't know what the future holds. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch this winter because they definitely have the seeds of a competitive team, especially from what we saw in the American League this year. And just need to get more consistency from the offensive end. That was what killed them in the first half this year. JB, one last thing. I just saw this on the internet, there's a lot of information out there on the internet. You ever notice that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I browse it every once in a while.
It's crazy. So Travis Hafner's house is for sale, and you and I both live in Cleveland, and he's got this $5.75 million pad for sale on Avon Lake. I'm thinking between the two of us, you know, it's a pretty large place. You know, we both go in on this. We can both take a wing, and we can meet down in the basement, which has a nightclub and a bowling alley. I think that this could be a good situation for us and our family.
I think we can afford the basement. I think
if we
go in on it together, we could get the basement, and I think that would be a nice little retreat for us. I just hope the people who do buy the place are cool with that, because that would be fun.
That would be fun. I'm not sure I can even afford half the basement, but I do like the way you think, and we can just rent out the upstairs.
We'll broach it with the bosses this winter. You know, we'll say, you know, we could have visiting writers. We could house them there, you know, when they're in town. You know, when the Indians make their inevitable playoff push here, you know, we're going to have more writers in town. There's a lot of room in there. I think it'd be a good MLB.com purchase. You know, maybe we could talk our bosses into that.
I think we can talk our bosses into that. I don't know if we're going to talk the writers into staying there because we do not have Marriott points. That's the problem.
That's
we
true.
Could offer Marriott
good
points.
Point.
We'd be ahead of the game. But all right, I want to thank Jordan Batchen for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in this season. It's been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.